any time of year. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for A N E O A C A G A P A S L A S L A A C R R R M M D R A H A P A F A I R C G A.
Yeah.
Or any of them there, guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Usually.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet!
Dude!
So, how was everyone's day today? My day, I didn't sleep in. Well, I slept in a little bit, but not that much.
Wait. Hold on. Just so the crowd knows, not sleeping in that much constitutes waking up at what time?
11. Because normally I get up at 9:30, so I slept in an hour and a half longer than usual.
Yeah. But on a regular Sundays, you don't get up till 1.
On a regular weekend, I would get up at 1 or 2. So I would get I would really catch up on my sleep. Today, not so much.
I've met you for food at 1:30, so I know you're up.
Then I went for to go pick up an electric piano for Shelley.
How'd that
work out? And realized that this thing I bought was much larger than I thought it was. I'm thinking it's going to come in a box or something. Yeah not so much.
Came in a freight container?
It's about maybe 4 or 5 feet across and a couple feet deep and probably 3 or 4 feet tall.
Now I'm in the where the hell am I going to put this mode? This thing that I have.
Yeah, I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think it's
going to
fit in your
big
room. Yeah.
This that you have chosen now needs to find a home?
Yes, I didn't realize it was going to be that big, and I can't keep it out in, the living room or whatever. The animals will wreck it. So.
Got to go in your room.
I know, but there's no room in my room. My room is completely decorated and full.
Yeah.
These are sometimes things to think of first.
Yeah. And
well,
then
I was expecting an electric piano like a Casio, like the kind that you had, in a nice wooden
piano. You're thinking of an electric piano from,
a keyboard.
From, Guitar Center.
Yes.
No. Not like that at all.
I'm not expecting a Steinway.
It's not a Steinway. It's a Brodmann or something like that.
Okay, well, wow. Okay, it's that big.
I saw, I've never been in a piano store before.
Uh-huh.
They had beautiful, I've never seen pianos like this. $84,000 for a piano. I'm like, wow.
That's not a
top. The guy goes, we don't sell those all the time. I go, dude, if you sell one of those in a month, that pays for everything. He goes, oh, yeah, it would.
I've seen pianos like that in my home.
Really?
My brother has a grand piano, a baby grand, and an upright Baldwin.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah. They got to be something. Because those, I've seen pianos from a distance before, but I've never seen one up close. I mean, this thing was incredibly intricately done. I'm just like, wow, it was really something. So what'd you do, Shell?
My day kind of sucked, sort of. My piano didn't fit in your truck.
Well, it would have fit if I didn't have a mattress in the back already.
Oh, well.
I was expecting a box.
Yeah, but you live in a mattress store, so what do you expect? No, and I'm at the point with my knees where now the other one hurts as well, and I spend half my days waiting for my peas to freeze back up again and so that I can put them on my knees. And I think I'm at the point where I'm so sick of this crap that I'm just going to resign myself to living in pain.
You threw me for a second.
There's nothing else I can do.
I thought you were trying to freeze your pee.
No, my pee.
I thought that's disgusting.
I have peas on my knees.
Yes, you do. How about you, Mark? How was your day?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
I mowed the lawn. I washed the cars. I vacuumed the house. went to my mother's for dinner, and came here.
What could be better than that?
It was a good day.
Especially the coming here part.
Yeah.
So, well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. I knew Shelly needed to move, so I was trying to give her a heads up that the time for moving had come. But I don't think she was quite there with it. However, if I keep talking for a minute, that'll give her time to get into position for the boozy news.
Probably be getting her out of position after the boozy news.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We have shout-outs to Fran, Bill, Brian, and Phil.
Nothing from
see.
Me?
No.
No good shout-outs.
Oh, maybe there was something from you, but
you're
I think I forgot
host.
To put it in the list. Ah, you'll have to
you're
wait
Bruce
till next
B.
time.
We already know who you are.
Yeah, I know.
There's a new fad among college students.
Great.
And the
sex?
No, the regional clinical vice president of Caron Treatment Centers in New York. That's a very long title. His name is Dr. Harris Straightener, who has seen some of these kids come in.
Wait.
What?
Dr. Hair Straightener?
Harris Straightener.
Hair is Straightener.
He's a bit concerned. He's seen some of these kids come in, and they end up in the hospital. They're doing something called inhaling alcohol. Rather than drinking it,
they're snorting alcohol.
No, well, sort of. What they do is they pour the alcohol over dry ice and then inhale the vapor. It gets the effect of the booze directly from. It doesn't go through your stomach.
So
it goes right into your lungs and hits your brain instantly. The only problem is, part of the reason why how your body protects itself from alcohol poisoning is by throwing up.
And you can't.
You can't. If it doesn't go into your stomach, you can't throw
That's
up.
That's the same with the enema thing.
Yeah.
You could kill yourself because your body can't get rid of the alcohol.
I remember...
Although inhaling it sounds better than an enema.
I remember sitting with a group of people one evening doing what we did. And saying... I wonder what our kids are gonna do to get loaded someday, because we're like smoking coke,
right?
And that wasn't something people really thought about last generation,
right?
What are our kids gonna do to get loaded?
Now we know.
There you go.
Cool Whip, Whippets.
Yep.
Well, it's like
alcohol over dry ice. I like that.
E.
Yeah.
I never even really heard of ecstasy till after I got sober.
Yeah, I missed that completely.
I didn't miss it. I just joined the choir. Gave me the same effect, but without the side effects.
Ecstasy?
Yeah.
So you hallucinate and really love sex when you're in the choir? Wow.
You should get up earlier, Bruce.
I probably.
For some, join the choir. You know
I heard
what I mean.
That once.
With a bunch of old guys and gals. That must be interesting.
You know what I mean?
Praise the Lord and pass the Viagra.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Don't sit too close to me. Watch out for the lightning strike.
In Pierre, South Dakota, we're moving on here.
Hey, South Dakota.
Tom Parsons has pleaded not guilty to sending chicken poop to the Dewey County Treasurer.
It was chicken dew.
This guy should be the hero of the week.
He claims he paid his vehicle registration. They claim he didn't. He refuses to pay again, he says. So they sent him, you know, his late fee thingy, even though he's claimed that he's paid it. He sent the registration card back to them in a bag full of chicken poop. Interestingly enough, he faces a penalty of 1 year in prison and a $100,000 fine.
Wow. How much
you get less time for that for raping somebody. Huh?
Yeah.
How much was the registration? Doesn't say.
Not very much.
So he paid the registration, but has no proof he paid it. And he mailed them chicken poop, and they have no proof he mailed it.
It doesn't say whether he has no proof or not.
Okay.
Just the dispute is they say he didn't, and he says he did. So, I don't know.
Oh.
What
came first, the Hatfields or the McCoys?
Yeah. I still think he's a hero. mailing shit to the treasurer. That's awesome.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, as we all know,
PBR,
has become the beer. It's what are they calling it? The nectar of the hipster gods.
Really?
Which baffles me. Yes,
yeah.
It's highly popular right now.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Really?
Yep.
Not a clue.
I always looked at Pabst Blue Ribbon as being a rather lousy.
Yeah, it was always the
piss.
Yeah, it was the bottom of the barrel crap all of beer. Everybody bought it because it was cheap.
PBR is the hot thing now.
Well, it's not as cheap as it was, and unfortunately, because now Pabst is like the hip beer, people are looking at all of these other cheap beers, wondering if they're, maybe they're, they could be the next hip thing. And prices on cheap beer have risen 10% in the last month because of that.
Inflation, baby.
Yes.
Wow. Of all the beer to become like the hip beer.
Yeah, something.
Pabst. It's really just lousy.
Pabst.
It's not the one that used to, for a while, they tried to get it to the younger generation. They had like a polar bear or something was the Pabst polar bear. Like a cartoony polar bear was their spokesperson.
I remember the polar bear, but I'm not sure that was Pabst.
I don't know.
Maybe it was. We'd have to look it up.
That's the kind of beer it is, though, that they'd have a cartoon bear be their mascot. It's not like the Schlitz Malt Liquor Bull kicking the shit out of the China shop with a real bull.
That was real beer.
Or Clydesdale's. You know, they have this cartoon bear.
That's Budweiser.
Hey, boo-boo.
Okay, we're moving on to, well, I guess it's New York, but...
Where?
Well, New York, I suppose, because that's where he lives. Billy Joel... wants to clear his name. He says that he does not have a drinking problem and that his multiple trips to rehab stemmed from depression and not a drinking problem.
Yeah, depressed, he ran out of booze.
He says that Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs never worked for him because he doesn't believe in them.
So, that's interesting.
He said that his problem with alcohol evolved from deep depression... and that he used booze as medication, but he's okay now.
So we know that that's all bullshit.
No, he's
because
okay
first
now.
He said he's in there for depression.
He's good.
Well, he did have a couple of DUIs, which he claimed he didn't have. I remember them being reported. I think we actually talked about one on the Boozy News.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right.
Shelly?
What?
Shelly?
Are you
Shelly
doing the news?
I don't know.
You don't know if you're doing the news?
There are new peanut gallery people that I don't know.
I know. New peanut gallery showed up, so.
So I'm confused.
But,
okay. Let's see.
Welcome to the fabulous studio, boys.
This is
where the magic happens.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
This is where we create something that has been downloaded 7 million times.
Yeah, go figure.
Go figure.
Okay, in Belleville somewhere, St. Clair County. I don't know.
That got us no closer than the first description.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wisconsin,
anyway,
maybe?
James K. Fogarty.
Three names.
The K is just an initial.
Oh.
But it was cocaine.
there you go.
There you go.
He works in the probation office's investigative unit at the courthouse. He told officials, cops or whatever, that he bought cocaine and then he resold it to Judge Joseph Christ and a circuit judge, Michael Cook.
Joseph Christ.
The day before those two guys went hunting. One of them died of a cocaine overdose, one of the judges.
Wow.
Yes, so now Fogarty is in trouble because he sold them the cocaine.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't cut.
Or
the guy died of an overdose?
If it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's going to happen to him?
Well, he was arrested. He faces up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 fine.
But there's no judge to convict him.
That's right. The judges are gone.
Interestingly enough, he did make bail. They let him out on a $10,000 unsecured bail. However, his defender wanted him placed in a medical facility but wouldn't say why. So they sent him into a treatment facility.
On what bail?
Unsecured bail.
Unsecured.
Wow. So they just let him walk out. This guy's going to go away for 10 years. Hey, let's just let him go. And hopefully he'll show up.
He'll come back on the 24th.
Yeah. He's going to come back next week.
Well, he had to surrender his passport.
Well, that always stops you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
Lord knows you can't get into Mexico.
Because Flacco down on Spring Street in L.A. can't get you another passport.
In 5 minutes.
Yikes. Maybe we'll come back to that one.
That's even if you get asked. Because you can go to Mexico and they don't always ask.
Yeah.
Okay, this next story. This woman, this is going to be my stepdaughter in like 10 years. In Brattleboro, North Carolina.
Wait.
What?
So that means you're going to marry her father?
No. Hush. 24-year-old Tiara Drake has been arrested for attempted murder. She tried to poison 5 family members because they refused to share their cheese with her. So the next morning, she got up early and poisoned said cheese. And then when the family made the breakfast with the cheese, they started eating it. And, of course, they weren't sharing their cheese with her. So they all got sick. Now, nobody died, but she's been charged with 5 counts of attempted first-degree murder.
Oops.
But you know how Courtney is about cheese.
Yeah, okay.
I can totally see her, like, if she goes ballistic one day. So, you know, if she asks for cheese, just give it to her.
Just give her the cheese.
Yeah. I don't think that's a very good... Now, how old was this girl?
24.
You know, spend the rest of her life in prison for cheese.
Let's see. I'll do one more.
Find a story.
In Anaheim, California.
There we go.
Police arrested a Disneyland employee, Christian Barnes, 22 years old. After a brief investigation, they determined that he was the one who put a dry ice bomb in a trash can at the theme park, and it did explode.
It worked.
Fortunately, no one was close enough to be injured by the blast. Now, his father, here's what I think is interesting about this. His father said that, well, whatever happened, there was nothing sinister about it. He's a good kid, never been in trouble. I'd say making a dry ice bomb and sticking it in a theme park is kind of not a good thing. That's a little trouble.
He's a good kid.
What the frick is a dry ice bomb?
Let's guess it is a 2-liter soda bottle with dry ice put in it.
Oh, and then screw the cap on?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just guessing, though. I don't know anything about it.
Thanks for telling everyone how to make one, Mark.
Right. Yeah. Well, do you know how to make a chicken bomb? Those are kind of, well, they're gross. But
yeah, you shove an M80 up the ass of a chicken.
Yeah.
No. Get a plastic bag, dump a 1/2 gallon of milk and a raw chicken into the bag, tie it up really tight, and stick it out in the sun.
We call that marinating.
Well, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it will eventually explode. Like in a couple of hours of being in the hot sun.
Is this like some, like, Alabama thing?
Probably. My dad told me about it, and he's from Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
okay.
You know.
Chicken bombs. We're going to make us some chicken bombs. Man, shit.
Yes, my dad was also the one
that... Was the chicken dead?
Well, yeah, they have to be dead. Because they have to decompose. That's part of what makes the gases that make it explode.
Okay, thank you.
Disgusting.
My dad was also the one that spent a summer cleaning various school campuses when he blew up the girls' bathroom with a cherry bomb.
Because that was the same summer that my father had to clean up chicken parts from the courthouse.
Okie dokie.
We all come by it honestly anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Okay, let me scroll back to where I left off. Okay, and that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation and Sober College.
SoFoolHappens.com.
There you go.
All right.
So, we have a topic, Shelly.
Awesome. Get down with your bad self.
We just told you what it was.
I know.
What is it?
I'm telling you. Carry on.
My wayward son.
It's like a deer in the headlights. Mark.
I can't. We can.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. No. We literally just said before we came back on the air.
I know you just said it, but then you started talking about something else and I forgot.
In case you guys all wonder if we do a lot of show prep around here.
We don't.
We picked the topic about 30 seconds ago.
So, but it came up for a reason. Why did it come up, Mark?
Because you said we should do a show called I Can, We Can, or I Can't, We Can.
As a result of?
Shelly was having a slight an interaction.
Yes.
With someone.
With a former sponsee.
Mm-hmm. And,
Well, Shelly, why don't you give us that part?
Yeah, why don't you give us the blow-by-blow? We were just getting one end of it.
Yeah, while maintaining anonymity here.
Of course.
Of course.
Former sponsee has decided
You have
to,
lots of former sponsees, so you're
I
okay.
I know, that's the problem. They're all former sponsees. I have one that has stuck with me for the long haul. One. Out of what, 30, 40?
Yeah, and she gets out of the mental hospital on Tuesday.
Actually, she works at the mental hospital.
Great.
Anyway, she's decided to go back out and test the waters. She decided,
come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah,
well, the problem is that this is not her first rodeo with this. You know, in, out, in, out, in, out. And she's frustrated, she's upset and angry with people because she doesn't understand why people are mad about this. And I told her, I said, you know, it's not that we're not mad, it's frustration. I said, people in the program are very forgiving, but, you know, we spend a lot of time supporting you, bucking you up, people are helping you, getting you through steps, things are happening in your life, things are going better, and then you do this. And it's a little frustrating, it's kind of deflating, it's like, it makes us feel as though all of that was for nothing. It's kind of, it sort of, you know, takes the bloom off the rose. So you have to expect. And I asked her, I said, well, what kind of reaction are you expecting? And she said, well, I just want some support. And I said, we were supporting you. And she said, well, I don't see what, and I'm not going to say the swear word. She said, I don't see what the big effing deal is. And I said, no, that's the problem you don't see.
I see
exactly what the big problem is.
Clear to us.
Yeah, well, and I did that. I did that around our local AA club. I spent 8.5 years trying to get 90 days. And I'd go up to people, hey, can you help me out? And they're like, dude, I've helped you out like 26 times before. Yeah. Go, you know what you need to do. Go do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, this is back in the day. I mean, you know, they weren't as touchy-feely in the program as they are now.
You think?
Dude, I don't know how many times going in and out and in and out. I don't know how many times people told me to shut the F up and just listen. You shut up. It happened straight in the middle of like a noon meeting at the club. It'd be like, well, you should, Big Book Mac, just shut up. Actually, a number of different people.
I was told that.
He was the one that told me that I was too young for this and I needed to go home and make dinner for my husband.
There was only like one guy, that didn't used to tell me to shut up. There was a guy named Eddie C. And Eddie C. was like this loving, caring. He reminded me like a beatnik. He reminded me like he was off the Dobie Gillis show or something.
Like
and
he'd come in.
He'd look like he's going to the beach. He'd have this big ice chest full of his lunch and everything. He'd sit down and be like, hey, how you doing? But everyone else would tell me, just shut up. So I can't. I remember this person looked at one of my sponsees the other day. And he said, wow, maybe you stopped hanging out with all these dudes. You wouldn't get in, you know, she wanted to hang out with someone who smoked weed or something. And he goes, well, you know what that's going to do. You're going to end up getting loaded. She goes, look, she held a chip up in his face and said, I know what I'm doing. I have 6 months.
And yeah. Right then.
Right then you knew what was coming.
Yeah. You know what they say.
And he said the very next day she called him and said, well, I got loaded.
Yeah. You go to the barber shop often enough.
Yeah.
You're going to get a haircut.
And he said that, well, of course, my buddy is, this person is almost like old school at times, because he's like, I go, what'd you do? He goes, I hung up on her. I'm like, oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's probably where all this is coming out from her sign. Now, Mark, you ever seen that happen with people? You have a guy that you've sponsored off and on before who's gone in and out a bunch of times?
He's, yeah.
In at the moment?
In at the moment, doing well.
Yeah, really well.
Yeah. I don't sponsor him anymore. So.
Any particular reason? He didn't ask you, or you just said no?
Yeah, you know, the enough is enough type of thing. I obviously can't help you.
Which is kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, enough is enough.
Yeah, you know, you reach a point after a while where people come in and they come back for the, you know, 114th time. And do you love them that they're back?
Of course.
And do you give them a hug and do you welcome them
yep.
back?
Yes.
And then you kick them in the ass as you're letting go of them and tell them to sit down?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I
shut
mean,
up.
Yeah, you know, and that's the part, that's that touchy-feely thing that I don't play very often, so. You know,
yeah, no,
look,
you're
glad
big,
you're back, but.
You shouldn't have been gone in the first
yeah,
place.
Yeah, what's up?
Thanks for being the example to me of what not to do.
That's what, you know, that's actually what I love about every single person I've sponsored. I have stayed clean and sober through every one of them.
Yeah, that's the great thing about being a sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got loaded, but I stayed clean.
Yeah, thanks.
I think I just hit my, I've now discovered what my touchy-feely limit is. It's 2 relapses.
Oh,
after that, I'm like, okay, I got to do the show now, so. And then she hung up on me.
You know what, actually, I have a guy, I just realized this the other day. I have a guy that's gone in the years now. He, first attempt at recovery, he's never gone out. It's going to be like our friend Lee later on.
Oh, jeez.
It's the guy that shares, well, I've got, whatever, I got 18 years, you know, and somehow he's different because, like, I've never had to go out.
Yeah.
Either is this guy.
I got a bridge in Arizona.
Yeah. I had 13 years, and then I went out.
You what?
I had 13 years.
You had 13 years?
Yeah.
And then you went out?
Well, I turned 14.
Oh. Jesus. I've got like 35 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Actually, I have a perfect example of somebody I know. Actually, it's online, though, of the I can't, we can thing. She's a gal, she is coming up, like, within days on 4 years.
Congrats.
Yeah, she's now. She didn't. She did go to 12-step for a while, but she found a lot more support in the 12 steps of Celebrate Recovery and through her church and stuff. So
okay.
That's how she's done it.
Whatever
she's got
works.
4 years. It's working really well for her.
Good.
She's going through some fairly hefty trauma right now. She's not a close friend. She's what I refer to as my Facebook soap opera.
Huh.
If I want to, you know, and next month's installment. Well, so
Celebrate Recovery is a Christian group,
yeah.
So they all just glom right around her when she's having a problem, right?
So I'm reading all of her posts about all this trauma that's going on, and she's coming up on an anniversary, which for some people is a tough time.
Yeah.
And she's having all this stuff going on in her life, and she's posting things that are, you know, I just don't want to do this alone. I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, I have almost 4 years. I don't want to lose it. I feel like I'm losing it. And she's posting this stuff, which normally she's real upbeat. She has all the Indians in the world coming down on top of her and saying, you can do this. We'll help you. I'll pick you up. I mean, she's got tons of people helping her. And she's accepted the help. She said, okay, somebody come and get me. That was the last post I saw.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's a perfect example of I can't, we can.
Somebody
accepting that help.
Oh, you were going all topic and everything.
I was going
off
topic, yeah. Somebody saying, you know, I can't, I don't want to do this alone, I can't do this alone, people offering to help, and her accepting the help. And that's how it works. But then you get people like tonight where she says, well, I don't know what to do now. I'm like, call your sponsor, go meet with your sponsor, start over, let's do this. But she doesn't want to accept that.
She called you, didn't she?
Yeah, but I'm not her sponsor. She calls me because she's expecting me to do the touchy-feely thing again for the third time. And I'm telling her she needs to call her sponsor. She fired my ass.
Yeah, she won't call me.
Yeah. Why don't she call me?
I don't think she even knows you.
Yeah.
No, she won't call me on this because I'll set her straight. I told her weeks and weeks and weeks ago, if you hang out with that guy, you're going to get loaded. So
what do you know?
Then we see the opposite. There was this gal, again, on Facebook. This is kind of a weird thing, kind of the anonymity thing in Facebook. I haven't quite worked that out yet because you got all these people joining all these recovery pages with their first and last name, the town they live in. I'm like, you couldn't be less anonymous than that.
That's why I won't join any of the Facebook groups that are open. When you join a recovery group on Facebook that's open, it shows up on the public newsfeed.
Yeah.
You
got to
stick with the closed ones or the secret ones.
See, me, yeah, I don't care.
You're kind of an open book.
I don't really care. But you know, there's a lot of people that do care.
Yeah.
That join these open groups and they don't know. But this one gal comes in, and there's something wrong with this gal. She goes in all these recovery groups, and she's like, I really need help. This guy was beating the hell out of me and this and that. And I'm trying to stay sober. Remember this girl, Shelley? And everyone,
yeah.
This girl is like kind of psycho. And everyone's like, we'll help you, we'll help you, we'll call you.
Oh, yeah.
And all these people are rallying around her.
I did.
And then she,
a lot of my friends did.
Then she won't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Then she doesn't do anything anyone says. So she does all this drama. All these people come up to her aid, and then she disappears and does nothing.
And then I started getting emails, nasty emails from her about why I wouldn't help her. I'm like, okay, first of all, you're like a bazillion miles away, but I gave you my phone number. I looked up resources in your area, gave you the numbers, sent you the links. I did as much as I could possibly do from 2,000 miles away, and you're dissing me like I didn't help you. And she said, well, that's not the kind of help I need. I said, well, I'm like, what do you want me to do?
Send me $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
She just didn't she just wanted to create the drama and be involved in that without getting any solutions.
Yeah, see, unfortunately for me, the most experience I have with this is the, I have a guy that I sponsored. He still likes to call me sponsor, although he's currently drinking and using. And this kid just never does anything. It's like he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I keep telling him, I'm like, dude, you're fired. I said, I'm not going to work with you anymore. Come on, man, sponsor me. I'm like, dude, you're not even trying to stay sober. It's like you're calling me from the chatterbox in Covina, from the bar. And you're not even attempting to stay sober. I'm like, how do you expect me to help you? Take no direction. You work on no steps. You don't do anything. You get loaded, and then you ask me why you can't. You stay sober.
I need a better sponsor.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's my role, actually, as a sponsor, I've decided, because everybody dumps me.
Uh-huh.
And it was starting to get on my nerves. I was starting to think, okay, why am I so inadequate? What am I doing wrong? And I thought, maybe there's a special purpose for me as a sponsor. My special purpose is to be the interim sponsor so that people have somebody to talk to, someplace to go, something to do, you know, somebody to connect with while they get to the point where they're actually willing to do the work.
You're the transitional one.
I'm the transitional sponsor. And then they go out and get a real sponsor.
My first sponsor, Bill Kay, told me once, he says, I don't know how you're still alive. You go in and out all these times. He goes, you know, you're obviously God has a bigger purpose for you. You're here to set an example. And he looked at me, he goes, a bad example, but an example nonetheless. So, Shelley, what were your final words on I Can't, We Can?
I just had a song come into my head, but I don't know where it came from. You Are Not Alone?
I have no idea.
Wow, there's some sort of major raccoon. Yes, maybe raccoon fight going on out there.
Perfect.
We have wildlife.
Chick
raccoons and chicks.
Yeah, I guess that's my big, you know, if you think you're so alone, and I've been there where I've been in the middle of a meeting surrounded by people thinking I'm completely alone, and I'm not, you know?
Mark.
Yes.
What are your final words?
I've looked at all the steps. I don't see I in any of them. It's all we.
Actually, I only see we in the first one. But you could put we in front of all of them.
Yeah.
My final thoughts on it are, you know what, I did it. I went in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. And I for some reason, I had this sense of entitlement that people should be helping me. And the way they did it back in the day, they would tell me to shut up and sit down. And eventually, that's what made me stay, was people just going, you know, I'm not helping you because you only go to recovery homes because you want them to fix you. you only go to sponsors because you want them to fix you. You're not willing to fix yourself. And it wasn't until I became willing to become a participant in my own recovery that I was able to get it. Shelley, who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. The new issue is out. It's been out for a couple of weeks, so get online and go read it.
What if I wanted to do the 12-Step Gazette in my area?
Yes, you can. You can contact him. Actually, if you go to the latest issue, you can go to recovery101.net, scroll down, click on his banner. It'll take it his page. I think it's like a few pages in. There'll be a little box with his contact info. You can contact him and get a 12-Step Gazette going in your town.
And it comes kind of turnkey. It's going to come with probably some national advertisers, and then you get to sell your own local advertising, and you can make money because no one needs a job.
Wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, no one needs a job or anything. Mark.
Yeah.
People are listening to the shoe.
We appreciate that. Thank you
very
much. The
really big shoe.
If you're listening to the show in some way other than going up on our site, we ask that you go to recovery101.net and click on the current show or any show you like, but click on the current show.
It's getting close to 500 shows up there.
I know. It's there's some choices to make. But anyway, click on the show, and at that point, there'll be a box comes up that says like. You can click the like button. If you're already a member of Podomatic, thank you. You've been counted. If you're not yet, we ask that you join Podomatic. You will get show updates. Then you can like the show. You can make comments on the show. You can add us to your playlist. You can follow us. And we ask that you do all of the above. Thank you.
500 shows? We've been talking that long?
Something like that. It might even be more than that, actually. I'm not sure.
We've been talking that long.
Well, there's like 20. Well, actually, you know what? No, there's more.
I've had that much to talk about.
There's more than 500 shows because there's 20. There's 26 pages of 20 shows. So there's like 520, something like that.
That's ridiculous.
We need to shut up.
That doesn't
count. We need to shut up now.
Yeah, we need to shut up now.
That doesn't count the almost 3 years of shows that aren't up from various show hosts. That's us.
This is just us.
Yeah, and that doesn't count any of the shows that I did and that you did some of that were on regular radio out in fabulous San Bernardino, California.
No wonder I feel like this has been going on since the dawn of time.
That was the greatest thing ever. This place was broadcasting from the Carousel Mall in San Bernardino. You couldn't hear this show if you were out in the parking lot. I mean,
you couldn't. I tested it.
5 rockin' watts of power. Good Lord. Well, we've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself too damn seriously.
Shelley, who's the lead-on music by?
Looking for trouble.
Looking for trouble. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you. Okay. Don't ask me how it handles.
The only car that's parking in my garage is a slick red.